Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 402, Heart Trouble. Pastor Harley Kolterman delivered this message on Sunday, December 29th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So bienvenidos a nuestros amigos en línea. Welcome everybody online. We thank you for coming and for joining us. God bless you. We just believe in God as we end this new year, this old year, and enter into the new year, that this will be the greatest year ahead. Amen? Amen. Because God is a good God. Praise the Lord. So today we're continuing a series. We're continuing a series on Hearts Alive in 25, and we hope that yours is. Amen. That it's coming alive, that it's growing in that life, and that God will bless you throughout the new year with an awesome, awesome opportunities to minister, opportunities to receive from Him, and opportunities to pour into the lives of other people. So I want to talk to you. The title of my message today is Heart Trouble. So I was reading just a little while ago from the American Heart Association that heart disease and stroke claimed more lives in 2021. So this is kind of old statistics. It's probably more now. In 2021 in the United States than all forms of cancer and chronic lower respiratory disease combined. So heart trouble is a bad thing. And that's not to mention anything spiritual, that's just with the flesh, that's just with the body, that the house for the spirit that God created us to be. So heart trouble is an issue, and getting at the heart issues and taking corrective action is really the key to getting our lives on course with God and getting them in line with God's plans and His purposes. So it's really important, this series of messages as we close out this year and come into the new year, that we align our hearts with His heart and that we walk in righteousness and true holiness with a heart that's open to Him, a heart that's open to His correction, to His direction, to His wisdom, all of those things. Because it's really easy to coast and kind of put it in neutral and let things slide. But when you do that, you end up going backwards instead of forwards. And we don't want that for the new year or for the years that are coming ahead of us. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to start out in the book of Proverbs today, 16th chapter, 21st verse through the 24th verse. It says, "The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." So we see in the scripture that there's a big connection point between our heart and our mouths, which I guess probably you've discovered either by accident or on purpose as you've progressed through your life or your walk with God, and maybe your walk previous to your life with God, that our mouths can be a big problem and cause big problems for our hearts. Praise the Lord. So years ago when we were learning things of faith and coming into a walk of faith, and kind of stumbling along, Pastor Karen and I had a few go-arounds with about how we spoke. And so if I would say something negative or something, you know, that was adverse, she would just say to me, "So, okay, so I'll agree with you and you can have it double." "Well, thank you very much." And you know how well husbands take correction from their wives, right? So after we got through that and got over it, then I would catch her in a few words and I'd say, well, honey, if you really want that, I'll agree with you and you can have it double. So, but we learned through that, that we could give and receive correction in love and that our lives would be bettered for it and that we could learn to talk the Word of God, talk faith, talk prosperity, talk wellness, talk healing, talk wholeness, and get our mouth lined up with our heart and our heart lined up with the Word of God, and the outcome was much, much better. Amen? Praise the Lord. So in this scripture here, it says, the wise in heart will be called prudent. So I don't know what you want to be called, if you want to be called prudent or not. It's not a word that's used very much, but it's a good word, really. And sweetness of the lips increases learning. So if we could have some sweetness come into our talk in the next year, I guess we could learn a lot according to the Word of God. If you believe the Word of God, you can take this for, you know, an instruction for the year and just really increase in your learning. Verse 22, it says, understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. So understanding, just if you take the converse of this, understanding cannot be a wellspring of life to a person who doesn't have it, right? And one of the issues with correcting heart trouble is to have an understanding of what's going on. So a lot of times, you know, we say things like, I just got blindsided by that. And if you checked around with your friends, they'd say, what are you talking about? I've seen this coming at you for a long time. Because a lot of times we don't really see things the way the people around us see them. But if we're not open to receive correction or direction or, you know, God using another person to bring blessing into our lives, oftentimes we shut off the avenue that God has to get to us a place of new understanding. And if you don't understand yourself, you'll never bring correction to the heart issues in your life, because those heart issues take understanding to begin to direct, to take corrective action. So it's so important that we take a hold of this kind of word. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. I don't know about you, but I really want that. It's something that we should long after and seek after, because the better we understand ourselves, the more we can grow in the things of the Lord, for sure, and the more we can grow in our relationships with each other. So a lot of times, you know, we kind of separate our spiritual lives from our natural lives, and we think, you know, well, I got to be me, you know, I have my rights, you know, and so I can have my relationship with God and I don't care about anybody else. But that's not how it works, because God put us in the body of Christ, and the body has to work together in submission to the head of the church, which is Christ. And if it's not working together in proper submission to the authority that's over us, our relationships get messed up. And if our relationships are messed up, then our lives are messed up. And we have heart trouble. Because it's a heart issue. It isn't, sometimes we just say, well, it's my German, it's my whatever nationality you is your heritage. And we blame a lot of things, or it's how my parents raised us, it's how our family was. If everybody's like this, everybody around me is like this, it's the workplace. We can blame a lot of things for stuff that's going on in our lives, but the reality is that you and I have a responsibility for our own lives. And we have ways that we can close the doors to the negative things that are around us. You know, the Bible says that we're to be in the world, just not be of the world. So you have to find ways to accomplish that. And the way that you accomplish that is by keeping your heart, by guarding your heart because out of it comes the wellspring of life. So there's stuff that can come into your ears and go through. You can let it pass through, or you can let it lodge there somewhere. Brother Kenneth Hagin used to say something like this. He said, you know, you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. But if you don't have any hair, I guess that's not a problem anyway. But but it's a reality. You know, what we allow, God will allow. And I think we don't think about that a lot of times, because Jesus said, you know, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And we kind of repeat that scripture as kind of a catch-all. But what does it really mean? It means basically whatever I permit, God permits. Whatever I forbid, God forbids. And if you think about it, that's really powerful. Or can be powerful, but it can also be really can really bring adversity into your life if you're on the negative end of that, because what you're permitting to come, God's not going to stop it if he's given you authority over that thing and you're supposed to take care of it. He's not going to take care of it. I know my pastor, Dr. Lester Sumrall, was when he was teaching us on demons and deliverance and setting people free, and how he learned how to set people free. He would give one of the examples that he would give is one of the first times that he was confronted with demon power. He was preaching in the India subcontinent somewhere. I don't remember if it was in, I think it was in Indonesia, but I could be wrong about that. But anyway, as he was sitting there on the platform, during the preliminaries for the service, waiting to have his chance to speak as an evangelist in that service, in that church service, that this little girl got off of her front seat and began to do the snake thing in front of the platform. And so she would go back and forth just like a snake, with green froth coming out of her mouth, her tongue sticking out. Her eyes changed colors and were flashing, and just this demonic stuff was going on. And he's sitting on the platform and he's praying, God, take care of that situation. I can't preach with this little girl doing the snake thing in front of the platform. And God said to him, you take care of it. And he said, no, you take care of it. And God said, I can't take care of it if you don't take care of it. And they went back and forth for a while, but the little girl didn't stop. She just kept on going. And so finally the preliminaries were over. The little girl was still doing the snake thing in front of the platform. And so he said that he had never dealt with deliverance of anybody before. He never really had seen this. He'd never really heard sermons about it anywhere. He was 20 years old and was never taught that. He said, when I was in church as a teenager, he said, my mom took us to church, but I was in the back playing with the girls, so I never got any of what they taught, but I don't think they taught anything on demon power anyway. And so he said when he got to the pulpit, he just touched the pulpit and something rose up out of him. And he said, stand up and sit down now. And the little girl instantly got up and sat on the front seat like a zombie. Just like that. And then he preached his message. And then when he got done with his message, he said, something else come out of me. He said, come out of her. And instantly the girl was set free. And the whole altar filled up with people to get saved. So what you permit, God will permit. What you forbid, God will forbid. He'll back you up every time. If you walk with God, your faith begins to kick in. And the word of God begins to rise up on the inside of you. And something supernatural begins to happen. So getting at heart issues and taking corrective action is really the key to getting your life on course. It's the key to getting your life in God, in line with God's plans and God's purposes. So the 23rd verse says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and it adds learning to his lips. So I guess it's up to us to decide whether we want to be wise or not. Yeah, some of us are wise guys, but that's not what it's talking about. I guess a sense of humor is a good thing for life. You know, the Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine. But that's not all there is to life, is just, you know, jokes and, you know, levity and, you know, being happy around people. You know, I've known people that are very happy on the outside and inside they're dying. So you can kind of fake the joy thing. Kind of thinking, fake it till you make it. But if you don't deal with the heart issues on the inside, faking it till you make it isn't going to get it. Because it's not real. It's just dealing with some symptoms. It's covering over. It's putting a Band-Aid on areas where you really need something to happen on the inside. But when God comes in to do the inside stuff, then the outside begins to line up with what he's changed on the inside. And you can have real lasting change in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that from that point on you can coast, because it's really easy to go backward. I don't know if you discovered that or not. But if you put the car in neutral and you're sitting on a hill, you're as likely to go down the backside of the hill as you are to go forward the other direction. And it's a slippery slope out there, and when you're on the slippery slope, you can slide in. So the Bible says the cure to that is to guard our hearts, and oftentimes we don't guard our hearts. I mean, that's the issue. We keep our hearts open to a lot of stuff that we shouldn't keep our hearts open to, and it opens the door to the enemy coming in to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come to give life and to give it abundantly. But he only can do that if we take the responsibility for our lives in the way that's proper and according to the word of God. So the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. If you need to change how you're speaking, if you get your heart right, your mouth will begin to speak right. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so it's the issue of dealing with the heart trouble will take care of a lot of the other issues in our lives. And if we get a hold of that and begin to consciously address that, then we can have a different kind of a life ahead of us. Praise the Lord. Adds learning to the lips, so it can even change how we speak and how we deal with each other and how we deal in our honesty even with God. How we speak with what we've learned from the heart issues being taken care of. Verse 24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. So a lot of sickness, a lot of disease, a lot of the problems that we have in our flesh come from some of the things that we say and the way we conduct ourselves and carry ourselves in a godly manner or not a godly manner can affect the health to our bones. You know, so the bones is where the blood is created, and it's a big issue. You know, if you get cancer in your bones, that's not very good because it'll soon invade every area of your body. So if you want to have health to your bones, the Bible said pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. So a lot of things have their origin really in our heart issues and not in too many Big Macs, and not recommending, you know, that you do the Big Macs, but anyway, use wisdom, praise the Lord. So I'll quit meddling there. So heart trouble comes when adversity and fearful circumstances or impossible challenges overwhelm our faith in God. Have you ever thought about that? That how we react to adversity or how we react or respond to fearful circumstances or something that seems impossible ahead of us, impossible challenges, that sometimes squashes our faith, takes away the power of faith that we have working on our behalf. So there's a story that illustrates this in the book of Matthew. It's a familiar story, but just for the sake of it being the Word of God, I'm going to read the whole portion from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22-33. This is a story about Jesus and his disciples. So those stories are there, the Bible says, for our instruction. We can learn from this. We can learn a lot of things from this, and I'll touch on a few of those things. But what the Holy Spirit says to you about this is more important than anything I could ever say about it. Maybe he will use some of the things that I say to speak to your heart, but it's important to keep your heart open to what is the Holy Spirit saying to me today through this scripture. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. I think Jesus is an interesting person from how he led his disciples. So, I think he believed in delegation, but he led by example. So he wasn't making his disciples do anything he wouldn't do. And in this case, they had been dealing with multitudes. I don't know if you've ever dealt with people. Some of you have to deal with people in the office. It's interesting. Sometimes it's like herding cats. But dealing with multitudes is a whole nother level. And these disciples, these 12 guys, and maybe their 70 friends, I don't know. When you talk about multitudes, 12 amongst a multitude isn't much. So I'm assuming that Jesus and his overall bigger disciple group were handling these multitudes, but especially he was taking care of the 12 that were leading the pack and anointed to lead the thrust. So this was Jesus' leadership team that he told to get into the boat and go to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So he was taking care of the multitudes single-handedly and sending his disciples on a sabbatical, I guess, across the lake. In verse 23, it says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So I've been to this place a lot of times in Israel. It's really an interesting place where Jesus went to pray. You could look over and you can see the Sea of Galilee from there. It's on a bright night with the moon out and everything, you would see everything. And it says that when evening came, he was there alone. So he didn't just decide to join his disciples right away. He stayed on the mountain. And we know that when he was alone, those were times to pray. It says he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening was come, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. The Sea of Galilee is really interesting because the winds can come down really quickly and the whole course of things have changed. I've been on the Sea of Galilee a few times when that's happened, when it just gets really choppy really fast. And then it's not so much fun to be out in the middle anymore. But we've had times when we had worship services out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee with four or five boats tied together. And it's an amazing time just to kind of think about these times that the disciples were out there and they were worshiping God and they were spending time with Jesus. But this time was not such a nice time because the winds had come down on them and were contrary. And now it was in the fourth watch of the night that Jesus went to them walking across the sea. So what's the fourth watch? The fourth watch would have been the, you know, they divided the watch times, you know, when the guards would guard the city, they divided those into four. So the fourth watch would be sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So you can figure that Jesus was up there on the mountain praying at least till 3 a.m. He wasn't snoozing and losing. He was praying and seeking the face of his Father and getting his download for the next day of ministry with his disciples and maybe for his walk across the water. I don't know exactly what he prayed or how he prayed. It would be interesting to find out. But we're not told exactly that because the disciples weren't there beside him, so we don't know. So they couldn't record it. And then it says that he, in this fourth watch, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. So these disciples, you remember, most of them were fishermen. So most of them were experienced sailors. And they're probably mythology past told them that when you see a ghost on the sea, that's your last day. You're going to the bottom. So the Bible says here that they saw Jesus. They thought he was a ghost, and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Aren't you glad for Jesus? When the waters get troubled. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've tried it on the swimming pool and it didn't work. So he walked on the water to Jesus. Verse 30 says, "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" So remember, I began this section that said, heart trouble comes when adversity, fearful circumstances, or impossible challenges overwhelm our faith in God. Verse 31 says, "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him and saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" I think that's one of the most amazing sections of Scripture because it shows that even when you get into fear, even when you're challenged with impossible circumstances, Jesus is there. And he's not going to let you sink. Even if you've got heart trouble, he's not going to let you sink. But notice what Jesus addressed with Peter. He said, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So he got really to the heart of the matter. The issue was Peter had faith. He had a short burst of faith, really, that where it says, "O you of little faith," it's, "O you of short burst of faith, why did you doubt?" So doubt is really a heart issue. It's when we're not trusting Jesus in the middle of the problem, in the middle of the impossible, in the middle of the challenge, in the middle of the fearful circumstance. And Jesus wants to get to that place where we've got the heart issue. And so he addresses Peter straight on and says, you had a short burst of faith. Why did you doubt? You were almost to me. Why did you let your fear take you out? And he asks us the same thing when we're facing those kind of things. Because it takes courage to stand up to adversity or a fearful circumstance or an impossible situation. It takes some inside heart courage and boldness to stand up to that kind of thing and knock it down and not let it take us out. Not let it sink us, so to speak. It's the case here was with Peter. But thank God for Jesus. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? So will you let Jesus take a hold of you when you're sinking? When your stinking thinking is making you sink? When the circumstances around you are sinking you? When the issue seems to get worse instead of better, or take longer instead of shorter? Are you going to let him reach out and grab you and keep you from going under and address your heart issue and get to the middle of your heart issue? So we have friends, you know, that have gone through heart surgery, gotten some bypass surgery and whatever. That's not any fun. It's a whole lot better to have it addressed before it gets there than to have somebody cut you open and then you have weeks and weeks of recovery. But thank God that Jesus is still there. Even when you're facing that kind of adversity. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus taught that we must connect our hearts with our mouths in order to release the tremendous power of faith. If you look in the book of Mark, the 11th chapter, the 22nd verse, Jesus addresses this with his disciples. He says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. In this case, in chapter 11 of Mark, he was addressing the disciples, observing how he killed the fig tree by speaking to it. You know, the Bible says that he came into the city, and as he noticed, he wanted to go to the fig tree and get some figs that didn't have any. So the Bible says that he spoke to the fig tree and said, no more figs on you forever. And that night when they came out of the city, they noticed that the fig tree was dying from the roots up. So Jesus killed the roots with his words. And when they questioned him about it, this is his answer. He said, have faith in God. Or you could say it this way, have the God kind of faith. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his
heart.
In his what?
Heart.
Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Isn't that powerful? Therefore, I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Do you notice there it says, it only talks about believing once, but it talks about saying three times. So maybe that's a lesson to us that saying what we believe is really important. The reality is that we've experienced many times saying negative things. And when we say negative things, it seems like they snap to and happen just like that. I've heard people say, you know, if sickness comes around, I'll be the first to get it. And sure enough, they are. If the economy crashes, I'll be the first to lose my job. And sure enough, they do. It's amazing, you know, how fast circumstances respond to what we believe in our heart and what we say with our mouth. But then when we start applying it to things in a spiritual way and in a positive, powerful way to release our faith for something, it seems like it takes more than 20 seconds to see the result. When Jesus spoke to the tree, by the evening it was dying. So they couldn't really see the roots, but they could see the effect of the roots dying immediately. Maybe it took the rest of the day or the next week for the rest of that tree to die. But if you can get to the roots, you can kill the tree. And if you speak to your mountain about your God instead of speaking to God about your mountain, you can move that thing out of your life, because it's Bible principle and it's guaranteed by the words of Jesus. He said, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever," who would that be? Would that include you?
Yes.
Would that include us?
Yes.
Whoever is whoever, right? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I think it might be in Letourneau's book. Letourneau was a guy who designed the big earth-moving machines. I think he was telling about how he learned this principle of faith. He said that as he was getting into the Word of God and came across this scripture, he said, how could that work? And he had this, outside of where he lived, there was this kind of this big mound of ugly dirt that the developers had never moved. It just had been there for years. It's been sitting there. And he thought, you know, if this word of God is really true, I should be able to speak to that and get it moved. So on his walk, his daily walk, he began to speak to that mountain of dirt and said, be moved, be removed. And, a couple of days went past and it still was not moved and whatever. But then one day he took a walk and it was all gone. Somebody had come and scooped it up and moved it. That was after years. So the problem is, we try to figure out how God is going to move the mountain or how the mountain is going to get moved. But that's really not our business. Our business is to speak to the mountain. God's business is to see to it that it's moved. And when we talk to the mountain about our God, his name is greater. His name is more powerful. And it will move the mountains in your life if you believe in your heart and say with your mouth what you believe in your heart, it'll happen. You know, that principle is used in coming to Jesus. We tell people all the time, how do you come to Jesus? Well, you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You can't just believe in your head that God raised Jesus from the dead. You have to believe it inside here. Somewhere in here, the Word of God has to make that real to you. And then you confess with your mouth his lordship over your life, and you will be saved. You know, sometimes maybe we do a disservice to people when we do like kind of mass salvation calls or something, you know, and we just say, pray this prayer after me and then you'll be saved. We can't really look into a person's heart and see whether they believe it or don't believe it, you know, but we make them say the prayer. I did it at a funeral once, a funeral for a politician. And there were a lot of politicians in the room, important people from the state of Indiana and other places. And they all prayed the prayer. But I don't know if it ever got them to heaven or not. But I made them do it. But sometimes you have to go through experiences like that to realize that maybe that's not the best way to win somebody to Jesus. But if you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth, Jesus said the mountain will move. Praise the Lord. So just to one other proverb here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. So the issue is the word of God that's planted in our heart and is quickened by the Holy Spirit catalyzes an infusion of faith. And this results in a release of miracles and healing. Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their flesh." So what you feed your heart is going to determine the outcome in your life. He says, give attention to my words. Keep hearing my sayings. Keep them in front of your eyes. Keep seeing it. So keep your attention in the right place. Keep hearing it. And keep seeing it. And keep it in the middle of your heart. And then they will be life to you because you've found it. And it'll be health to your flesh. So a lot of the things that we put up with in terms of sickness and weakness and things like that have to do with our heart and what we've put in it and what we're holding on to have to do with what we're paying attention to, what we're listening to, and what we're keeping in the middle of our heart. So the reality is, you know, nothing against the medical profession, but when you go to a doctor and they diagnose you with something that's adverse or negative, they have to take the responsibility for telling you what they see, right? So you can't fault them for giving you bad news. You know, you need a heart transplant. That means that probably your heart efficiency is down between 10 and 12%. They have to tell you what they have to tell you. But if you've ever been around sick people, or you've been sick yourself maybe, and listened to yourself speak, what happens oftentimes is we talk about our pains, we talk about our sickness, we talk about our weakness, we talk about what's happening in our body. And if we get done with that, then we talk about the friend, or we talk about the person who was at the clinic with us, or we talk about what the doctor said, and keep repeating it over and over and over and over and over again. And guess what we're building in our heart? We're paying attention. We're keeping it in front of our eyes. We're reading every kind of diagnosis we can find on the internet. And we're reinforcing everything that feeds what's wrong with us. But when we go to the Word of God, it always says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is placed upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." And if you go to 1 Peter 2:24, where it quotes that scripture, he says that He took our sins in His own body on the tree or on the cross, that we, being dead to sin, should live to righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. So Isaiah, looking forward, says we are healed. Peter, looking backward, says we were healed. So if we are or we were, then we are. So I'm not saying don't go to a doctor. I'm not saying don't take medicine. Sometimes if it wouldn't be for doctors and medicines, people wouldn't live long enough to read that scripture. But I am saying that you have to reinforce what the Word of God says in your heart, because if it doesn't get right in your heart, then you can't get it right in your flesh either, in your body. But sooner or later, if you put the Word of God in, your body will line up with the Word of God. It may not be overnight. It may be a process. You know, Peter, James, and John, they learned this through a process of walking with Jesus, taking His instruction, receiving His correction, receiving His direction. And over the course of time, they became purveyors of faith. They taught faith. They ministered healing. They ministered deliverance. They ministered blessing to people. Doesn't mean they didn't have any challenges, any hardships, or any problems in their lives. But they didn't let life sink them either. And when it was their time to go, they went to be with Him, the one who was pierced for them, wounded for them, bruised for them, and crushed for them, by whose stripes they were healed. So staying on course with God for a lifetime is the challenge of every believer. It's a challenge that every believer must face and conquer. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but in 1 Kings chapter 3, between the 4th verse and the 15th verse, there's a story of Solomon's prayer to God. And the part that I want to emphasize, when he was praying, just becoming king, young man, he said in verse 9, "Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" So his quest was to have a right heart about serving as king. And if you read that whole story about how he ascended to the kingship and how he asked for wisdom and understanding, and then you come to 1 Kings chapter 4, which we'll close with today. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezraite, and then Heman, Cocol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs. His songs were 1,005. He also spoke of trees, the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and men of all nations, and from all the kings of the earth, who heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon." When you get your heart right before God, God will do amazing things in your life. And when you guard your heart, out of it will be a wellspring of life. His words are life to you, they're health to his flesh. So just to summarize, getting at heart issues and taking corrective action is the key to getting our lives on course and in line with God's plans and purposes. Heart trouble comes when adversity, fearful circumstances, or impossible challenges overwhelm our faith in God. Jesus taught that we must connect our hearts with our mouths to release the tremendous power of faith. The Word of God planted in the heart and quickened by the Holy Spirit catalyzed an infusion of faith, resulting in a release of miracles and healing. Staying on course with God for a lifetime is the challenge every believer must face and conquer. So, Father, today in the name of Jesus, we submit our lives to you. We thank you, Father, for conquering our hearts. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that washed us, cleansed us, and set us free from the power of sin and death. Thank you that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling in us, quickening our mortal bodies, filling us with your life and with your presence, Lord, driving out sickness, disease, weakness, and infirmity. Father, I pray over those that are watching online and those in this congregation, Father, that you would just move in a mighty way. But as we enter 2025, we enter it with right hearts, with hearts that are open to you, open to your correction, open to your direction, open to your wisdom, open to your provision, Lord, so that like never before, we can serve you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, Lord, and love you above everything in our lives. And for it, we give you glory, honor, and praise, because we know that you honor your word in our lives, and we know that no weapon formed against your people will prosper because our righteousness is of you. It was purchased by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for Jesus reconciling us to you and for him giving us a ministry of reconciliation to bring others to you. We give you glory, honor, and praise for it, and we thank you, Father God, that you've seen fit to use us in such a way to bring glory and honor to your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.